Now we begin to look at the text for this third Sunday in Advent. The first reading is from the prophet Zephaniah, and it starts with chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. For the Lord has removed the judgment against you. He has turned away your enemies. Now you see, we're in this time of God restoring his people. They suffered from their infidelity to God, and they were conquered and shipped away in exile. Many of them were up in the north. And now comes this word from God. I love you, my people. I want to bring you back. And so this message comes. You see, shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Praise and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. Now remember, this is the third Sunday in Advent. And so it's inviting the church to begin to look forward to that mystical moment when Jesus Christ's birth is present in a new way in the church and through the church to the world. As St. Leo says, all those things that the Lord said and did, we know not only in the record of things past, but in what is transpiring right here and now, namely the liturgy. It's the liturgy that presents the mysterion, presents God's action, the plan of God acted out. And so we're being invited then ourselves to be joyful. Why? Because at Christmas there is a new reality available to the human race. The church really is not in time. Time is in the church. The church uses time to create for us the ongoing mystery of the Word of God made flesh, his preaching, his love, his healing, finally then his death and resurrection, and his sending of the Holy Spirit, and his return again. And so, you see, time now is used by the church to deepen us in the mystery, which one day will be all there is. Would there be time? Well, the philosophers work on that. Time is a measure of motion, so if there's motion, there might be time. But there's not time as we mean it in advance, because now everything is established. Now, so Advent is the time when we take authority over time. And we start and we go through 4 weeks to celebrate the presence of the Word made flesh among us, born of the Virgin Mary. And that is the center of reality. That's where it's at. It's not the wars and the elections and all the rest. You see, it's the act of God in history being re-presented, literally re-presented by the action of the church. And so that's why we say, shout for joy and so forth. The Lord has removed the judgment against you. The church, in these last 365 days, has not been faithful to the Lord. Oh, we tried. Some, and some didn't even try. Now, the Lord comes to forgive us, to save us, and to move us on. And that's a joy. A joy doesn't come because we've been successful. The joy comes because God comes to our aid. God comes among us, you see. The Lord has removed the judgment against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. That's the King of Israel. That's the head of the church, Jesus. You see? You have no further misfortune to fear. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, be not discouraged. The Lord your God is in your midst. a mighty Savior, that is fulfilled at the birth of Christ. And that birth of Christ, you see, is what dominates time. One among us entered time who is beyond all time and has changed the whole nature of time. And that's why we have a liturgical year. In Advent, we relive the grace of the physical presence of God among us in the humanity of Jesus Christ. Physical presence among us, still among us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the action of the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, the humanity of God is among us, can free us from all our sin, strengthen us, and enable us to have the joy of preaching this good news and bringing other people into it. That's what it's all about. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. And listen to this part. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Did you ever think of that? That God is happy with us? You say, how could he be happy with us? I mean, we're such a mess. We're so unfaithful. We're so lazy. We're so dominated by the world. Our culture is sort of, we're dominated more by the culture sometimes than by revelation. And it says here, he will rejoice over you. He will come among you and act. He will change you, and you will be a joy to him. What a gift. You will be a joy. We will be a joy to him because he can change us. Now you see, there's a grace of Christmas, and the grace is the birth of Christ in every human heart and in the church and by extension in the world where the world will accept it. There is a new presence of Christ. And that's what this song of Zephaniah is used to express. You see, it song was talking about, God acting to relieve the people of their exile. But it's God acting now, you see, and he's finished his work. He died, he rose, he poured out the Holy Spirit, and all of that mercy now, you see, enters time in a new way as we celebrate the liturgy. It's not a theater piece. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so precious and why we have to learn more and more all about it. Remember, the first document that Vatican II put out was on the liturgy. The Council Fathers knew by the direction of the Holy Spirit that the first thing they had to attend to is their life of worship. In a faith way, animated by the Church, enlightened by the faith and by the Scriptures, that we must have a liturgy. He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew in his love. He will sing joyfully because of you as one sings at festival. Can you imagine this prophecy? God delighted with us? We say, how could anybody in their right mind be delighted with us? Mercy. Love. And the whole point of that is to be overwhelmed by that and change. Look what happened to Saint Therese when she grasped in the depth of her spirit the bottled up love and mercy of God, just yearning to be poured out. That's why she made an act of victimhood to God. She was a victim of God's merciful love. Let it all flow through me and out to the race. I don't care what it costs me, and it cost her a lot. She suffered a lot, even to the point of being, as it were, the patron saint of atheists. The last few years of her life, she had no consolation at all. Only in the very depth of her spirit was she aware of God, but it had no impact on her emotions, on her mind. And she lived, and she said, now I understand what Jesus went through when he said, my God, why have you abandoned me? And out of that abandonment, darkness, atheism in that sense, came Thérèse de Lisieux, a young 24-year-old Carmelite nun who is, as I call her, the patron saint of atheists. She won the grace of conversion for, nobody knows how many atheists, you see. And so, he will sing joyfully as one sings at festivals. Can you imagine? God can be delighted with us? Can you imagine how delighted he is then when we return to him in love and praise and gratitude? Can you imagine why it's worth it to turn our lives over to him, to be faithful to him, to rejoice in him, and keep away from sin because of his love for us and his joy over us? Now, the canticle will just take a few minutes. In place of a psalm, they take Isaiah 12, which is a psalm, but it's not in the book of Psalms. And you see, it says, God indeed is my Savior. I am confident and unafraid. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. With joy, you will draw water at the fountain of salvation. Those words, haureitis aquas, those are the opening words, you will draw water, of the encyclical on the Sacred Heart. Where is this, the fountain of salvation? The heart of Jesus Christ. And you will draw water there, which is the Spirit, in joy, if you go there. And let the Lord speak to you, change you, lead you to repentance, give you the forgiveness of your sins, and let you rejoice in him in a way which echoes the way he rejoices in us. You see? Cry out with joy and gladness, for among you is the great and holy one of Israel. See how those words are fulfilled now among us? So, give thanks to the Lord, acclaim his name among the nations, make known his deeds, proclaim how exalted is his name. Now that we know how much he loves us, now that we know how much he forgives us, now that we know how much we can trust him, we must go and tell everybody else. This is not a secret. It's meant for everybody. You see, the greatest evangelization, you see, is a happy Christian. Like the best advertisement is a satisfied customer. If I'm alive with the joy of the Lord, people will believe me when I say God has come and brought about our salvation. But if I'm worried about the stock market and worried about this, worried about the downfall of the culture, worried about, I mean, you don't look very happy. I mean, if I become a Christian, am I going to have all the misery and fear and dread I have now? Why bother? It's our joy that witnesses. You see? Sing praise to the Lord for his glorious achievement. Let this be known throughout all the earth. Shout with exultation, O city of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Now, how much truer is that of us, huh? On Christmas Day, we're getting ready for Christmas. You see, on Christmas Day, what do we celebrate? The presence among us, physically, of God himself, who has come to set us free from sin, to teach us the way back to the Father. And there he is, the child of the Virgin Mary, that big, in a manger, and angels are coming, and shepherds are coming, and we're coming. Amen.